Our evening message is from 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and chapter number 24. Now speak to you this evening on this subject, how to become great. How to become great. 2 Samuel chapter number 24, that is in the Old Testament, and it's right by 1 Samuel. Just thought I'd help you a little, which is right by, well, if you haven't found it by now, all you have to do is just open your Bible and look intelligently at any page, and you're going to fool all of us, right? So 2 Samuel chapter number 24, would you stand with me out of respect to God's great and good book? We are going to read 2 Samuel chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. 2 Samuel chapter number 24, and I'll speak to you on this subject, how to become great. 2 Samuel chapter 24, here's verse number 1. Let's read these verses 1 through 4 out loud together. Are you ready? Are you set? Let's read. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And verse number 3, are you ready? And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Verse 4, ready? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host, and Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. Let's pray together. God, I would approach you in the name of Jesus, and I would confess to you, I am a sinful man, O Lord. And I pray that you would make my heart clean and my spirit right, and I would place myself, my body, my soul, my spirit in your hand. I would commit this service and this message to you. And God, I pray that you would take and use it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would stand by me. Spirit of God, I pray that you would keep me from saying anything that would grieve you, anything that wouldn't be right. And I pray, God, that you would convict hearts, convict the hearts of the people that hear, and comfort the hearts and cheer the hearts of people who hear. And I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Look back at the passage that we read, and we would see David's sin. His sin is in numbering the people. Now, this is some of the last works of David. If you went to 2 Samuel chapter number 23, you would see some of the last words of David. 2 Samuel 23 tells us that David said that the Spirit of God spake by his lips, that the Spirit of God inspired the book of Psalms. So chapter 23 is some of David's last words. Chapter number 24 is some of David's last works. His last words and his last works. Now, unfortunately, his last works that we see were not good. But the good thing is, at the end of this chapter, David repents. He repents of his sin. He comes and he throws himself on the mercy of God because he has sinned in numbering the people. So
Although he had not done the same works as he had at the beginning of his life, David repents and goes back to those first works and gets right with God. David finishes well. Not everybody that starts out in the Christian race, my friend, that starts out running the race for Jesus Christ, not everybody tonight finishes well. By the way, not everybody that finishes happily. The Apostle Paul said that I might finish my course, but he didn't stop there. The Apostle Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. I don't want to die an old, tired crank. Amen to that. We come around that neighborhood again. I don't want to die an old, tired, unhappy person. I want to be finishing my course with joy. So David had made some grievous errors. But David got back to the first works, and David repented, and David throws himself on the mercy of God. And David, well, you got to see his sins that he did there. He numbered the people, and it made God angry. He numbered the people, and the Lord was angry over that sin. You see, what David wanted was David wanted to see. He wanted to know how many. He wanted to count how many. He wanted to be aware of how many are able to serve in the army. That's what he wanted to try and find out, it appears at least. Why was that such a sin? I don't know. I'm not sure. It was a great sin, but why was it so evil? I'm not sure tonight. But we know it was a sin because if you get to the end of chapter 24, God punished that sin, my friend. So why was it such a great evil? Some say it was such a great evil because David did it in the pride of his heart. But by the way, wait a minute this evening. Don't be too hard on David. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl here tonight that hasn't had a proud heart. What was David's sin? I don't know. Why? I mean, his sin was numbering the people, but why was that such an evil thing? I don't know. I'm not sure. It might have been because, you see, you were only allowed to count and to take people into the army if they were over 20 years of age. That was the only way they could be counted as a soldier. It might have been that when Joab and all these guys went throughout Israel and Judah and everywhere, that they were counting people that were too young to be in the army, but that would increase the numbers. Was that the sin? Was that the evil? I don't know. It was a sin what David did, and the Lord was angry about that sin, but God in heaven is just as angry tonight about my sins as he was about David's sin. God's angry about sin tonight. He doesn't glamorize it. God finds sin detestable tonight. He doesn't glamorize it. God punishes it. And that's what he did to David. What was the evil that he... Some people say that David was counting the soldiers because he was going to make them take money and give him a shekel and put it in his treasury. Now, that's just what some commentators that I read have said. There have been all sorts of things said about me. There have been things said about you. Some of them true, some of them not so true. I don't know what the evil was that got God so angry about why it was such a great evil to God that he would punish David for this. I don't know what caused God to punish it. But here's what I do know this tonight. God's fair. God is just. God is righteous. And what seems to be a little thing to me can be a great thing to God. Amen. What seems like just a little sin to me can be a great, grievous thing to God. But blessed be God. God is merciful and God is forgiving. And the same God that pardoned David will pardon you. So David goes to his general, and he says to Joab, he says, Joab, I want you to go through Israel and Judah, and I want you to number the people. And Joab says, well, I hope that the Lord adds as many people into our army as he wants to, and I hope that we have 100 times more than you want us to have, king. But why? And the king says, now, Joab, you go. Joab, go, send your guys, send your lieutenants, send them and go count. And Joab says, but why do you want to do this, king? And David, the king says, now, Joab, I'm commanding you to do this. And Joab says, but well, I hope that my king, that he sees with his eyes a 100-fold increase in the number of soldiers. Boy, they kept going back and forth. Wow, but here's finally what happened. Do you see it in that passage, what happened? Here's what finally happened. It says, the word of the king prevailed. David won the argument. Do you see what it says in that passage? The word of the king. Do you see it? In verse number four, notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab. He won the argument. The word of the king prevailed. The word of the king was triumphant. By the way, that's the same today. The word of King Jesus prevails, my friend. Yes, my friend, when you preach or teach this book, God's book, the word of the king, it's triumphant. Well, here's this man, sick of leprosy, but here comes King Jesus, and King Jesus touches him and says to him, I will be clean. And the word of the king prevailed against that leprosy. And immediately the leper was made clean. The word of the king prevails. Where the word of the king, there is power tonight. And David says, I want you to go number the people. And Joab says, well, we're not even sure how many soldiers there are. And I hope there's 100 times more. And I hope that now, David says, now go number them. And the word of the king prevailed. Hey, in the book of Acts, there's this man in chapter 3 who's lame. He's laying at the gate of the temple. Peter goes walking by with John. They're on their way to pray. And he goes walking by with John, and the lame man is there. This lame man has never done this. Never one time taken a step. Whew. I remember when I ruptured my Achilles tendon. I would sit in the back porch of the house, and I would watch people get out of their car and walk up the Fifi's. And I would say, if they just knew how fortunate they are to walk, I wish I could walk. Well, that lame man lay there, and Peter went passing by, and Peter said, I ain't got no money, honey. I ain't got no silver. I ain't got no gold. I ain't got no frankincense or myrrh either. Oh, wrong story. That's another story in the Bible. And he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he reaches down and takes him by the hand, not a hand out, a hand up. He lifts him up, and immediately that man's ankle and his ankle bones are strong and his feet are strong. He starts walking. He starts leaping. He starts saying, woo, Jesus. Why did that happen? Because word of the king prevailed. Amen. Where the word of the king is, there is power. David's word prevailed in the argument. Now the sad thing is, David won the argument. That's the sad thing. Because David forced Joab to do something that was wrong. I wonder how many people sin tonight because a governor or a congressman or a senator or a mayor forces them, commands them to do something against their conscience, against the God of heaven. T- terrible it is to be in a place of leadership and to cause a follower to sin. Terrible. David wins the argument. But here's what I want to show you. Look at verse number 9. Somebody tell me in verse number 9, raise your hand if you can find the answer. Roughly how many people were in the army? Melvin? Mel? How many people were in the army? You're the only Melvin here. Joe, how many people in the army?
1.3 million.
800,000.
500,000.
Now, that's a pretty good size army. Was it as big as they thought? I don't know. Did they think, wow, it's probably going to have more soldiers in it? I don't know. But here's what I want to show you. Go back in the book of Exodus, to the book of Exodus. Would you go back in... Oh, I'm not going to give you the reference for it. I don't have the reference written down here, except that it's going to be Exodus chapter number 12. In Exodus chapter number 12, somewhere in that passage, maybe you can find it. I'm busy preaching. I can't, and I don't got my eyes down here. My glasses are up there somewhere. In Exodus chapter number 12, it's going to tell us there are 600,000 men in the army that go out of Egypt. Now, does anybody know how many people came into Egypt? How many came in to Egypt, the Jews, when they first went into Egypt from Jacob's family? Do you know, Vicky?
63, I think.
The number I have is 70. Now, get this. Here's the message. Get this. 70 people, depending on who you're counting, 70 people go into Egypt. In Egypt, they go from 70 people to an army of 600,000 men. Now, for 400 years, they have been in the promised land. And in that 400 years, when David starts counting, they have only gained, roughly, they have only gained 200,000 men. Isn't that incredible? That in Egypt, they go from 70 to hundreds of thousands. That's phenomenal growth, isn't it? But in the promised land, not so much. They go from 600,000, 500,000, and only grow a little bit more. What's the difference? I go clear back to the beginning of the book of Exodus. I want you to see this evening, because this will help you in your Christian life. Look at Exodus chapter number 1 and verse number 12. I want you to read with me, would you please? Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 12. I want you to read with me just the first sentence. Are you ready? Ready? Are you set? Here we go. But the more they afflicted them, the more they... That's the difference. You see, in Canaan land, it's the land of milk and honey. It's not a place of slavery. There were battles there, but they didn't have the affliction that they had in Egypt. You see, here's what makes a person great. Here's what makes them grow. Problems. Afflictions. Difficulties. You know what makes a marriage stronger? It's not having a smooth life. It's having difficulties that you overcome. It's being in that furnace of affliction together where you're saying, how are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to raise the kids? How are we going to keep... It's that furnace of affliction that the more problems that they had, the more growth that they had. That in Egypt, they had multiplied growth. In Canaan, they had limited growth because in Canaan, it was the land of milk and honey. If tonight I want to grow, I want my faith to grow, you know what it takes? Here's the ingredient that God will put in your life for you to grow. Heartache, difficulty, setbacks, disappointments, afflictions, problems. All of that stuff is part of the ingredients that get you and get me to grow in grace. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Here's what you'll find out. The more that the devil tries to put his foot on your head, the better things get. The more the devil tries to stamp out the flame of your faith, the brighter that it gets. It is the marriage that has difficulties to overcome that is closer together. It is the family that has difficulties to overcome, the family that has afflictions, that is the stronger, growing, and blessed family. I don't need it tonight to have God make it, so I don't need God. Here's what makes me pray. Afflictions. When I get over here and everything's smooth, I don't pray. Either do you. When I'm over here and there's afflictions, I don't spend time in this book like I should. You know why that is? Because I'm saying, God, I got the steering wheel. It's all good. But when there are afflictions and trials and I'm in the fiery furnace of Egypt, I say, God, you got to speak to me out of this book. God, you got to talk to me from its pages. God, you got to comfort my heart. But when you get over here and it's the land of milk and honey, you get over here and everything's smooth sailing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whew. Done with that today, for the day. Got my Bible reading done for the day. Whew. But when you're over here in the land of Egypt and you've got multiplied afflictions and multiplied pains and heartaches and you're saying, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to keep my wife from killing me? I thought I'd get an amen there or something, honey. No, not from the rest of you. The rest of you, keep your nose out. The life insurance policy is worth like a buck and a quarter, so I don't even think that'll get you a coffee at Fifi's. You don't drink coffee anyhow. But when I've got financial problems, when I've got physical problems, when my heart is breaking, when things are tough, when it's multiplied afflictions, you know what I do then? I say, God, it says you're my shepherd. I'll not want. God, it says in here, it says all things work together for good to them that love God. God, it says in here that you're my light, my salvation. You're the rock of my soul. You're the rock of my home. That's where you grow, is in Egypt. But when you get over here in Canaan land, here's the danger. Success will ruin more people than problems will. Money will ruin more people than poverty will. Being famous will ruin more people than being common will. Now, I want you to look back at that passage that we read from Exodus. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The worse it got, the better it got. The harder it got, the better it got. The deeper the pain, the bigger the blessing. Can I tell you tonight, my friend, people want to be great, but we just don't want great problems. We want God to use us, but We don't want to have to go through a lot of difficulties. The more they afflicted them, does that sound like multiple problems? Does that sound like multiple problems? The more they afflicted them, that it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Can I tell you tonight? The more problems that you have, the more blessings you're going to have. Woo! The more difficulties you have and the more trials you have, the more triumphs you're going to have. The more setbacks that you have, the more victories that you're going to have. So, don't be a person that says, I can be great without Egypt. No, you can't, my friend. Not without afflictions. And the more stuff you go through, the greater God is going to use you. Did you get that? You see, because, get this now, over here in Egypt, that's where you get your equipment. I went to Tractor Supply last night. Now, I'm not like a hands-on type, fix-it type person. So I think when I walked in, there was some kind of sensor that went off that was just like, City Boy just came in. But they got really great baby chicks. And the kids were all like, Dad, can those come home? I said, sure. But we'd all have to find another place to live, me included. Because I guarantee you, it's either mom or the baby chicks. So I was walking through there. I'm looking for a bucket heater for the baptistry. I go right to the section where it was the last time I bought one. They had to move the stupid stuff. Don't you hate that when you go in the store and they move the stuff? It's like, just leave your stuff where it was. We'll move my cheese. Thank you, Dylan. So I asked the clerk. He said, right down this aisle. I went back and looked. They got a big round thing, kind of like a Frisbee. Uh-oh. And you got to put it together. And so I think, I want the kind you just drop in. You put the plug in. I can do that. Put the plug in, drop it in. It heats. I don't want to have to do part A to part B to screw C to, that ain't me, man. So I'm looking for the right thing to use. You know where God gives you the tools and the stuff to use in life? Afflictions. You see, the more problems you've had in your life, the more God can use you to help other people. Do you get that? If you've only had one difficulty and one trial, well, then you can only help one kind of person. But if you've had multiple afflictions, you can help multiple people. Do you get that tonight? So maybe you've had financial problems. That's an affliction that you've had. You've just had a tough time making ends meet. Well, then you'd be able to help people and say, God provides. God will get you through it. God will supply for you. But when someone has a broken heart because they've lost a loved one, you don't know what to say to them. You hadn't been there. You don't got that tool. The more afflictions and the more problems and the more difficulties mean the more tools, the more growth so that you can help somebody. Here are the tools, the afflictions that I've been through. Fourth grade, my grandma died. Sixth grade, my dad died. My uncle Bill was next. My aunt Nellie, then my uncle Al. On top of that, throw in the illegal substances that I was buying and selling, and the thieving that I was doing for my mom's SSI money. All of that, here's a good word, all of that foulness, all of that funkiness, multiple afflictions, because I'm over here, I'm a hurting young man. I don't know anything about God. All I'm saying is there's something bad wrong down inside of me, and there's got to be something in some pill or some bottle somewhere. It's going to fix it. No, there ain't nothing going to fix it but the gospel, my friend. But here's all those afflictions. Now I can do this. I can say it just ain't fair and it just ain't right. God ain't going to pay no mind to that kind of mess. Or I can say, the more I'm afflicted and the more things go bad, the more I'm going to grow. And the more tools God's going to put in my toolbox. See, because now I can sit and counsel somebody, and I can stand at the funeral or the casket of some loved one, and I can shed a tear, and it's a sincere tear, because I remember my grandma's funeral and my dad's funeral. And I can sit there and say, I know what it's like to have some sin have me handcuffed and controlling my life. I know what that's like. It's a tool in my toolbox. You grow in Egypt when everything's really hard. So if you're on easy street tonight, my friend, congratulations. God bless you. I really envy you. But if you're over here tonight, and it just seems like from bad to worse, from worse to worser, and from worser to worserest. Is that right, Francis? Is that conjugation for you? Bad to worse. Let's see if I can do it again. Bad to worse to worser to worser to worserest. Woo! If you're over here, congratulations, because you know what God's going to do? You're going to grow that way. Your marriage gets closer that way. By the way, that's where you find out where your real friends are. That's where you find out who they are. Because if you've got all kinds of problems and someone's sticking by you, that's a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But if you're over here, well, and you on Easy Street and you in Canaan land, be careful. Be careful. We've all had people that as long as you had that green in your hand, long as you had that cash in your wallet, long as you was in Canaan land, everything was fine. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they grew. So David, you prevailed. You argued Joab into doing something that was a sin, and it ended up a great plague and punishment upon the nation of Israel. But David's last work is for him to repent, throw himself on the mercy of God. God puts away David's sin. It was a great sin. What its evil was, not so sure. But here's what I do know this evening. That if you've got difficulties, congratulations. That's how you grow.